Well, hello everyone. It's Tanya Gabrielle on October 14th, 2013 for our Numerology Academy support call. And this is going to be a really, really important call for various reasons. The first is there's a couple pretty major events coming up in astronumerology that all of you need to be aware of in early November, and not only for yourself, but also for your clients. So I'll be looking at those, and also we have one of the questions that came in by email that's a very good question, so I'm going to go a little bit more into detail on what the topic is for that. So, let me get straight to it. I just want to mention, obviously, today is the 14th, which is a 5, and the full date, 10/14/2013. For those of us who are still on this day, I know some of you are in New Zealand and Europe, and you may be already on the 15th, but for us, it's the 5th, a 5-day, and the whole date adds up to 3, and those two numbers sit on rockers. So if your day is fluctuating and there are changes, that's to be expected. Just go with the flow today. And so, you know, all of us are in a 7-month, a universal month of 7. And this is a very, very powerful breakthrough month for us. If we resist being aware of the things we need to see, we are going to be confronted. And if we don't resist, we're going to have amazing, amazing breakthroughs. So let's look at an event that's coming up very shortly. It is the Aries lunar eclipse, which is actually a full moon in Aries, on the 19th. It's actually in the very early hours of the 19th of October. So for some of you, it happens on that day. For us in the Americas, it happens on the 18th, actually. So let's look at that briefly, because it happens at a 7-degree mark. It's 25 degrees in Aries that this full moon occurs. And so 25 is a 7, and October is a 7. And for those of us in the Americas, 10/18/2013 is also a 16/7 day. So the number 7 is really accentuated by the degree number, the month number, and then even tripled for those of us who are in the Americas. But for all of us, the number 7 is up, lit up in lights. And so what this means is that the awareness level is going to be even more acute. And so any emotional reactions you have, because full moons obviously trigger us, emotionally sometimes, we want to pay attention to what our intuition is saying, because we need to really understand and be introspective and do the research that's necessary during that time, really take a time out, really, to look within. It's a great time to learn, to teach, to read inspirational books, to analyze, to become a student of something, and to really spend time in nature, to get quiet, listen to beautiful music, and get in touch, with the beauty of life. So that is coming up in a few days' time. And then the big event that I just want to make all of you aware of, now all of you in Design Your Destiny that just happened this last weekend know about these next events. We discussed them for a long time for each one of you and had very in-depth readings for all of you. But I want to just let everybody in Numerology Academy bring to your attention what is happening, and that is November 1st, 11/1/2013. There is the second of two exact squares between Pluto and Uranus. And this one is very, very potent. Now, as you know, between 2011 and 2015, Uranus and Pluto are doing this dance, where they square each other, go retrograde or forward, and then come back and square each other again. And that first time this year happened in May, as you all know, but the second time is happening now, and it's really culminating the year in many, many ways. Let's just briefly look at that day, November 1st, 2013. These two planets become exact at 9 degrees, and it's actually 9 degrees 26 seconds, which 9 plus 2 plus 6 equals 17/8, so it leaves a legacy behind. It's a very powerful number, but the 9 degree is very, very big, because that actual date, 11/1/2013, if you add the numbers up, they add up to 9. So we have a message from the universe about the number 9, which is, of course, the number of release, letting go, culminations. It's very emotional, and it is just a number that allows us to let go of all those things that are no longer useful. It is just a very empowering number and called the King of Numbers because it is the culmination of all the digits. So that moment is extremely important. And like I said, the degree 9 and the minutes, 26, 9 degrees, 26 minutes, adds up to 17.8. And the reason that's important is November is an 8 universal month. So we've got the numbers 8 and 9 active on that particular date. So keep that in mind. And then also, and by the way, you want to look in your charts and see where this is happening for you and your clients. Where is this square happening? Of course, it's happening in the same place over this 4 or 5 year period. So hopefully you'll know by now where it is in your chart. But for your clients, it's very important to check where this is. In the universal chart, by the way, I erect a universal chart for the exact moment that this becomes exact. And in the universal chart, this actually occurs on the angles, meaning the 4 angles, north, south, west, east. So that's the ascendant, the descendant, the nadir, and the midheaven are the 4 angles. And anytime something occurs on the 4 angles, it releases powerful energy. Powerful energy. The 4 angles are the most important parts of your chart. So anything that touches those 4 angles that's slow moving, like these 2 planets, is really going to activate something. So universally, for planet Earth and humanity, this is going to be a major moment. It happens actually on the nadir, which is way at the bottom of the chart, and on the ascendant, which is the 7th house. And so keep that in mind as well. It really, really is going to be potent energy. So what makes this event so much more powerful is that 2 days later, literally hours later, we have a new moon solar eclipse that is actually much more powerful than the eclipse we have just in a few days from now, the one I mentioned at the beginning of the call. And the reason is it occurs on 11/3/2013, November 3rd, 2013. That date adds up to 11. It's in the 11th month of November, and the moon and sun will be at 11 degrees. And so you can see the number 11, which is the master number, gateway number, is just activated full time. And because it happens so close to the Pluto-Uranus square, just, you know, literally a couple days before, it literally, they're joining together. These two events combine. And they actually combine very closely because 11 degrees and 9 degrees are just 2 degrees apart. So there is a very, very strong connection being made between Pluto-Uranus and this new moon solar eclipse on the 3rd and the 1st of November. So in a nutshell, look where that eclipse takes place in your chart. It is in Scorpio, 11 degrees. Find where that is in your chart. Find where it is in your client's chart. It's going. Any eclipse lasts for a year. The effect lasts a year. It's a very powerful lunation, and you want to see what house it's in, what it's aspecting in your astrology chart, and just look at the story there for yourself and your clients. So just really pay attention. The energy really is heightening now. I know Mercury's going retrograde in a few days, so that may delay certain events when Mercury's retrograde. Sometimes events are a little bit delayed, but still the energy will be very, very strong. Okay, so that is your homework for the next month. And we have some great questions, and I want to let all of you know, just please, as usual, get in line. Press star 6 if you have a question, and you can line up right now, and I'll get to you in the order that you line up. So star 6 is how you line up to ask a live question on the call. And in the meantime, I'm going to get to the first question here by Susanna Bielander, and she asks whether signing a contract on before the 21st of October, a very important project, and she wants to look at a particular date. So this is a personal question. So yes, Susanna, you're in a personal year 14-5. Today is the 14th, interestingly enough. Your month is a 15-6 in October, personal month. And so you're asking, would the 18th be a good day? Because it would be a 6 personal day. Considering your numbers, which are 6 and 8 and 5, yes, absolutely. A 6 personal day would be fabulous for you. And in general, 6 and 8 days are very good for you. You asked that question about signing contracts and launch dates. So the answer is yes for that. So yes, you're definitely adding correctly. The other thing I want to say, by the way, this is very important. If you're signing a contract, you want to do it before October 21st, because that's when Mercury goes retrograde. That's for all of you. I don't recommend signing important contracts between the 21st of October and November 10th, because there could be delays or frustrations as a result of signing when Mercury is retrograde, because Mercury rules communication. And it rules all kinds of communication, not just, you know, contracts, but also the internet and your, as you know, your computer and your printer and phone and many other things. So yes, that definitely the 18th is good. Okay, so that was an easy question. Let's move to Jacqueline. You said you would not be on the call most likely, so you ask a question about having studied Chaldean numerology as a teenager, and what you learned is that the day of birth number should be the same as the new name, with the exception of a few numbers like fours and eights. You say, for example, if born on a one day, the new name picked should also add to a number one. That's what you learned as a teenager from, I always forget how to pronounce his name. It's Chiro, C-H-E-I-R-O. No, that is not true, absolutely not true. I don't know where he got his information, but it is definitely not the case. Your current name that you change to right now does not have to match your day of birth at all. It doesn't have to match your life purpose. It doesn't have to match your destiny. In fact, my current name, Tanya Gabrielle, doesn't match any of those. It doesn't match any of my important numbers whatsoever. So there's no matchmaking that you are trying to create when it comes to your current name number. The only thing that matters is that it's fortunate or not. And so your second question is, when choosing a new name, I said in Design Your Destiny that there is no shadow side with fortunate numbers. Will you please explain this and why? Well, if the name number works with your birthday, right? So let's say you're born on a 4-day or 8-day. There's always going to be exceptions. There's a lot of rules that are in Numerology Academy Level 1, Webinar 5, and you want to just study those rules and go to that webinar, because it explains in detail why certain days of birth and life purpose numbers wouldn't work with the 15 name, which is a highly fortunate name. So there's always exceptions. But in general, if you're not born on a 4-8 day or have a 4-8 life purpose, you know, any fortunate name will be good for you. You don't have to line it up with anything. And there is no shadow side to a fortunate name. There is a shadow side to a name that's challenging, obviously. Right. So when it comes to shadow side and positive and negative aspects of a number, those only apply to when you look at your birth code. They don't apply to current names. Okay. Then you also ask, does the new name have to take into consideration the personal shift number, which is in Numerology Academy Level 2? I go into that in great detail. Challenge number, missing numbers, etc. No, you don't have to take that into consideration. Like I said, it's a frequency that activates your birth code. It has nothing to do with your birth code. It's a completely different branch of numerology that you control, because you can change your name to whatever you want. You cannot change your birth code. Your parents gave you your name that's on your birth certificate, and you were born on a specific date at a time in a location. That can never be changed. But your current name is up to you. And it's what makes numerology so wonderful, because we have that choice. So it is completely in your ballpark as to what you want to do with it, and you don't have to be concerned about matching anything to your birth code. So I hope that answers your questions, Jacqueline. I know we're having a call about your name shortly. So, okay, let's see here. We have a couple callers line up. I'm going to take your call first and then go to my last email, which is that big question that was asked. So let me see. We have Jennifer. Jen, let me unmute you. Hello.
Hi, it's Jen.
Hi, Jen. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Did you get home okay?
Oh, yeah, I did. It was fine getting home. Just took a few days to recover, but it was all good. I think I was in shock for 3 days.
Too, so.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah. So
my question. Okay, so my question is about the numbers. Like, you know, when we have our numbers, like for instance, my three important numbers are 7, 6, and 4. So does that mean that any of those days are good for our personal days? Like I'm going to be talking, I have the option to talk on November 21st.
Okay,
or
what's
December
your birthday? What's your
it's, day? The day is 7 May, 7-5, 1956.
Okay, so 5, 7, 12, and 6, okay, 18, 9 year. And so November is a 20-month and 23-5 day for you, right?
Mm.
You're in an 18-year.
Yeah.
Which is a 9. 18 plus 1 plus 1 for November is 20. So you're in a 20 personal month in November. And the 21st would make it a 23 personal day, which is a 5. The Royal Star of the Lion, which is good.
Mm.
You're asking if that's a good day?
Yeah. Is that a good day?
Well, you have an interesting situation here, Jen, because each of your three numbers is in a different numerology triad.
Hmm.
And in many ways, you lucked out because pretty much any day is good for you. I know that's a little confusing sometimes, but here's the thing. Certain days lend themselves better to making speeches. I mean, I certainly wouldn't. I mean, even though 7 is one of your numbers, I wouldn't really pick a 7 personal day to give a speech because, you know what I mean? It's
yeah.
I mean, if you want intuitive insights and you're channeling, it's a good day. But really, the 5 is preferable because 5 governs communication. You know, it's the media number, and it governs crowds. So the 32-5 current name, you know, that's I call that the politician's number because politicians loved crowds, and with that current name, they would attract the magnetism in the crowd. So the 23-5 for you, that's a personal day. That's the Royal Star of the Lion number. That's a very powerful personal day for you. And so, and it is about communication. And also, you're in a 2 month, which is one-on-one, heart-to-heart sharing, you know. So I like the numbers very much for you.
Okay, so
and also
that's
the
21st. Really yeah.
What the 21st is 3. That's about speaking.
Yeah, that's
right.
It is about speaking. That's right.
Yeah.
So what my other part of the question is, because I have 4s, and you know, I'm always thinking. So what I'm kind of understanding from what you're saying is, we've got to choose the day according to the meaning of the day and what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yes,
like 4, that's
it's a storyline that you create with the numbers at hand. So you know your three important birth numbers are 7, 6, and 4, which are in each numerology triad, which gives you really a bigger palette than most of us in many ways. However, like I said, there are certain days that may not lend themselves as well to and it also obviously depends on what you're doing. Like I said, if you're channeling, a 7 would work, but if you're not, then I wouldn't necessarily pick a 7 day. But so for you, yes, it's the message contained in the personal day, year, and month for you and how it aligns with your personal code at birth. So, and the thing that makes it very, you know, many-layered is that you're not only dealing with your personal cycles, personal day, month, and year, you're also, like we did, looking at the 21st itself, that day, the 21, has a frequency.
Oh, yeah.
And so you want to keep that in mind as well. You know, 21 also governs our 21st century. I love that number for anyone right now.
Mm.
You know, it's about truth in ancient Egyptian numerology. So, it can also give you ideas about what to focus on. But I'm not saying that in general. I mean, obviously, you have your topic and you want to speak what you want to speak about. But in general, you'll have the flavor of the day. The other thing that I recommend for giving speeches is that you check what are the universal numbers that day. What did they add up to? Because everybody in the room will be feeling those. And as it happens, it's an 11 universal day.
Hmm.
That's a breakthrough master number. It's wonderful. It's wonderful, you know. So it's a very powerful day. So if you have the opportunity and you like it, I would certainly take it. I always say, if there's an opportunity, take it, even if you're not ready.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what I'm trying to do.
Well, I mean, the people who are most successful, when there's an opportunity, they take it. Even if they've never done it before, they figure out what to do in order to make it happen. I mean, that's the only way you can grow. If you only take opportunities when you think you're ready, you're not going to progress very fast. You see what I mean? So.
Yeah, no, totally. I get it. It's true. We have to do things we're not comfortable with to get comfortable with them. So.
Yeah. And if it's a topic you love, you're going to love doing the research to get ready anyway. So that's the whole point. You're getting paid, or you will have a payday, depending on what you're doing on that day with this crowd. You're getting paid to do what you love to do anyway. So,
Yeah. Well, actually, you know, part of it, this is a particular thing that I'm doing that's about me breaking through. So it's important. Yeah, absolutely. So that's brilliant. It's good to have that insight.
Well, it's an 11 universal day. I love that for breakthroughs. You know, it's fabulous.
Wow, brilliant.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, that's brilliant. Wonderful insight.
Yeah, it's exciting. That's why I love numbers.
Yeah, me too.
They paint a story for you, right? So.
It's amazing.
Good. Well, good luck with that,
thanks
Jen.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, do you have any other questions?
Nothing I can think of right now.
Okay.
Well, maybe something will come back. Thanks.
Okay. All right. Well, good luck on that day and your preparation for it. Okay, good. So let's go to, I know who this is, Ryora is on the line. Hello.
Hi, Tanya.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good.
I'm going to do a follow-up here for a Facebook page feed that you also got involved in, and it has to do with the questions that Linda posted around places to look in a chart for mental imbalances or addictions. And Rebecca came on and noted that Neptune was one of the planets to look at, and then you added Mercury with all of its aspects. Now, Neptune, I understand, because of its self-destruction at a lower vibration. But why Mercury? I don't get that.
Okay. It's because mental imbalances can happen because the mind goes a little haywire, and Mercury rules the mind. So if you have a lot of challenging aspects, and let's say Mercury's in the 12th house where you hide things and don't want to confront things, and you can get mentally unstable. So because Mercury rules the mind, it also, the way we think things through really shows our ability to be aware or to ignore issues, right? So when things aren't clear and they become muddled, that's when we can become imbalanced in our views about how to resolve things in our life. So that's why I added Mercury as well. Now, mental imbalances, obviously, you've got to look at the whole chart. It's not just these two planets and their ruling signs and the location of the planets in your house and the natural ruler, you know, the natural houses that they rule. For example, Mercury would rule the sixth house because of Virgo, right? And it would also rule the third house. So third and sixth houses would be something you'd look at. With Neptune, it would be the 12th house. So those three houses you would want to check out, you know, any planets there, what are their aspects, who rules the houses. So it goes deeper and deeper and deeper. But does that make sense with Mercury?
Yes, it does. I just had not, once you said it, I thought, oh, okay, that makes sense. But I wasn't making that connection with Mercury ruling the mind at the time when I was reading that. So I think of communication with Mercury and all the things surrounding that, as well as electronical devices and so forth. But I just hadn't equated it to the mind. But yes.
You know, it's interesting you say that because communication, but yeah, you know, the way we communicate our feelings is instrumental to whether we're releasing energy and able to heal. So if we can't communicate properly, if Mercury is afflicted somehow and we're not able to handle that, you know, we are not processing properly. And then your mind really does do strange things. You know, because then you have to compensate for your life somehow, right? So you escape then. And you know, obviously part of the escape is Neptune, the illusion, the delusions and all that. But Mercury, too, plays a part in how we think things through. And clarity is so important to health. Being clear about what's necessary in your life and communicating your needs is very important to health. And it's interesting. I love that you asked this question because the question that I'm about to answer is about health. So it ties directly into yours. I'm going to go into greater detail now, actually, because one of the emails was actually about this issue, about health, not mental health, but health in general. So, which, by as you know, is ruled by the sixth house. And the sixth house, the natural sign that governs the sixth house is Virgo, which is ruled by Mercury, right?
Right.
So Mercury, just by virtue of being the planetary ruler of the sixth house of health, has a direct relationship on both physical and mental health. They're both related, is what I'm saying, right?
Right, that's logical. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right, well, that clarifies it for me, and that's really all I have this time.
Okay, good. I love your question. Every month you have a great question. So.
Uh-huh, bye-bye.
All right, good. Well, anybody else? Thank you, Aurora. And we have, you can press *6 while we're on the call if you have any follow-up to what we're talking about. I'm going to now go to Elaine's email, which came in this morning. And let's see, where do I start? She says here, she has a few questions. She says, is there a way to forecast potential health problems from the chart or numbers? Do certain health problems tend to be more common in certain signs? The reason I ask is that several friends have developed unexpected cancers or died from unexpected diseases. And for a period from 2009 to 2012, I had a problem with swollen hands, feet, joints, where I could hardly function. It turned around in 2012, and I pretty much have full function now, except for a lot of stiffness and aches. EO Edition is the Mac astrology software program that I use, and if you're a Mac person, you probably own this program. It's very good. In EO does, okay, this is the next question you have. Let me first answer the health question, because this is the one I really want to look at. It's a very big question, and I will be eventually designing a short course around health and astronumerology because it is a very, very important subject. But I want to go a little deeper into it just so all of you have some tools you can use. And the first thing I want to say to this question is you do want to look at the natal chart in great detail, first of all, and just understand, for example, I'll give you an example. If somebody has Libra as their ascendant, okay, you want to understand what does that mean. That Libras are when they're children, for example, they're hypersensitive about their environment. They're hypersensitive about what their family members are doing, or anyone close to them. They just have this huge sensitivity. They want balance at all times. So when there's imbalance at home or in school, they may placate or pacify upset relatives, try to be the peacemaker at their own expense. Now you see where this is going. So you need to understand every part of the chart. So for a Libra ascendant, you have to understand that if they're doing that, their health will be affected, because they may be so focused on pleasing others in order to create balance that they ignore their own needs, and that creates a health issue, right? So it's quite complex, and it's fun, though, when you do this research. You have to really understand the core issues in the chart, right? The sun sign, the ascendant, where the sun is in the chart, the house it's in, where's the moon, and just really understand what that means and what the shadow side is, because the shadow side is telling you what those people, what your clients need to focus on in order to break through, these resistances and these blocks, which then ultimately express themselves as a health issue, right? The health issue is really the final expression of something that happened a long time ago. It happens emotionally, mentally, spiritually before it really becomes a health issue, right? So that's one thing. That's just a starting off point. But I want to go into a little bit more detail as well, because we want to look at the sixth house, because the sixth house does govern health. So as we just talked about with Riora, so you want to basically understand the sign of Virgo, because Virgo is the natural ruler of the sixth house. And any issues related to structure, routine, health, diet, organization in anybody's life should be in balance for you to be healthy. So that means what you eat, what you put into your body. That means, you know, not just food, but in general, what are you putting in your body? How much do you exercise? How do you relieve stress? How well do you get along with your coworkers? The Virgo is known for perfectionism, for worry, for service, meaning even servitude, hypochondriac tendencies, so you want to look at that. And then, of course, you're going to go deeper. You're going to look at, are there planets in the sixth house for this client or for you? Look at what those planets are, because they will reveal a lot about your health. And, for example, if Pluto is in your sixth house, there can be vulnerability in the reproductive region and also in the way you eliminate, okay? So that's just one little example here. So the energy of the sixth house really impacts your health. And even if you don't have planets placed there, and I don't have any planets in the sixth house, there's so much you can learn by virtue of looking at the sign that rules your house. And if, for example, if that sign, let's go back to Libra. If that sign is Libra, you look for, Venus, because Venus is the ruling planet for Libra. Where is Venus in that person's chart? What number is Venus at? What number is the cusp of the sixth house? Look at that number, right? Look at, and this is what I'm teaching in Future Forecast Formula, which, by the way, starts October 24th. For all of you who signed up, this is going to be a very powerful course on looking at current cycles and current events like health issues. Whatever it is, we're going to look in great detail. How do you, forecast something for a client so that you support them and help them break through instead of be a victim of what's happening? So in this case, you would look at, is anything transiting your sixth house or progressing in your sixth house? Or is the ruler, let's say we go back to Libra, if Libra is on the cusp of your sixth house in your natal chart, is Venus being aspected somehow right now through a transit or progression in a way that is challenging, right? So this is how you go deeper and deeper and look at, the actual health issues. Now, keep in mind that the sixth house is about personal development. So if you're stuck in your personal development, in your soul growth, you know, and this development happens through your work, right, through the service that you give. And most of you give a service. In fact, probably all of you do. You're Numerology Academy members. You're supporting others with your work. So you want to really look at whether you're fulfilling that, okay? And so because the house rules health, work, and service. So in terms of health, it refers to your mental and physical issues brought about by your inability to have a balance with your emotional security. So if you're not able to feel secure in your work, in your service, then the illness is a direct result of either a need to rest your body, a need to rethink your lifestyle, an inability to cope with a challenge or an emergency, and it even can be as a result of your soul really wanting to change, right, and you not able to switch gears. You staying in the past and not able to switch gears. And, of course, it can also be a normal sign of just getting older, so just attending to your health needs. So, you know, this is just a little bit of how you can look at this issue. So in the future, I'm going to do a short course in this in the future in 2014. And what I'm going to be doing is just really looking in much greater detail how you can help your clients focus on specific health issues depending on how they line up. It's actually, you know, a formula that you can use to really show what the sixth house indicates, what the planets occupying it indicate, what the signs of those planets are, the signs on the cusp, the health issues that occur, the parts of the body ruled by the planets. The signs also rule parts of the body, and how you look at the numbers and how the transits and progressions might activate those issues. I can't go into that, obviously, in a call like this because it's quite involved and would take a few hours, but it is definitely a fabulous and very important topic. And, you know, really, in a sense, you can see from the sixth house, it really shows how a person handles conflicts in their life, because any kind of conflict is a catalyst to transforming your thoughts. And the house is ruled by Virgo and Mercury, as we said. So the way you think really shows you whether you're able to detach and step aside in order to reevaluate, right, and get a new perspective, or whether you have to suffer because you're not able to do that. Okay, so it's also very much about patience, and faith and growth and experience and wisdom and all of that. So those are just a few of the keywords, and thank you for your question, Elaine, because it's a really good one. Now, you did have a couple other questions, which I'll just briefly go into, and then we have one more phone question here. You asked, in EOdition, the here and now chart does it display current planet placements? Yes, it does. Here and now in EOdition for Mac displays the transits. Then you also asked, does the relationship chart display the planets of both people as a midpoint calculation? Yes. The answer is yes. The relationship chart displays for between two people the actual midpoint between all the planets and houses. And then finally you ask, when calculating the personal cycle, is it possible for a baby who was just born to be in a cycle? For example, I was calculating a relationship with a parent and child. Of course, it was the first year for the child's life, but if you do the calculation of birth month and day plus universal year, it came up to a 3. So is it possible for a child to be born in a specific energetic cycle? Yes, of course. When a child is born, the child has a life purpose number, and that life purpose number is the personal year in the first year of life, right? So if that life purpose number is 21, for example, then the first year of that baby's life is a 21-3 personal year. So any month thereafter, like October, it would be a 22-4 personal month. So that's pretty easy because it is literally the life purpose number is the personal year in the first year of life. Okay. All right. Let's see here. We have one more question. There's no name. So, hello? This is 787.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. This is Nancy.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm well. How are you?
Good. Thank you. My question is, I'm really at a very simple level. I'm really trying to catch up before the forecast class a bit and understand my natal chart. I am currently really, I've had a lot of misunderstanding and unfortunate whatever in my career in different ways, forever. And I saw in my chart that, like, where the career areas is the middle part.
Yeah, the midheaven at the top.
Midheaven, yes. And that's at 12 degrees. And I know from reading and also listening to the last time, the last call, I think, 12 could be, it's at 12 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And so that could be the victim number, you said?
That's the shadow side of that number, yes.
Right. And so that's actually been really kind of weighing on my mind as to what to really kind of do about that. And I'm having a kind of a hard time getting out of that, like, mindset of, like, oh, God, this is why. Do you know what
I mean? Yeah, that's a really, really good question because, obviously, 12 is not only about being a victim, right? It's so much more than that. But the shadow side, the reason 12 is so big for human beings is we tend to allow ourselves to go to that point where we feel somewhat victimized. And so it is sort of a big deal in many ways because the way a lot of us are raised is not to feel empowered necessarily. So this number actually is a very big one for all of us. And so for you, since you have it on your actual cusp there on the 10th house, it will reflect in your career, as you know. So it doesn't mean, though, that you will always feel victimized. What it means is one of your big lessons as a result of whatever happened up until now, previous lifetimes, whatever it is to free yourself from feeling that way. And so you're going to attract experiences that will highlight both the positive and the challenging, the shadow side of the 12. The positive side of the 12 is very wonderful. The positive side of the 12 is literally about, it's the number 1 and 2 together. So the 1 is literally kneeling towards the 2 is literally kneeling towards the 1, and it means wisdom and growth and education. And so it's a great number for gaining incredible perspective and speaking and communicating that perspective through your work, literally as a writer or speaker or musician or artist, because it reduces to 3. So really it's up to you to take whatever experiences you've had where you felt this way and channeling them into something positive. That you need to understand that the number 3 can get depressed. The flip side of 3, you know, 3 is about joy, but the flip side of joy is depression. So it's important for you to understand that that will be a way for you to run away from, you know, being who you truly are, which is very wise,
right,
teacher, speaker, and you know what I mean? And let those experiences affect you as opposed to saying, hell no, I'm not letting that person or this situation affect my life. It's ridiculous, you know.
Right.
I'm in charge of my life, and this is not happening the way, you know, the way they perceive it. I'm going to create something wonderful with this experience. I'm using it now as a stepping stone to break free. So really, that it's just it, when the 12 is up there, or the 12 is on your ascendant, or your sun is at 12, it's just a bigger has a bigger effect on you in terms of just breaking through, feeling as a victim. And it does not mean at all that you have to be a victim. It just means you should be teaching others, because it's your 10th house, you know, you should be teaching others not to be a victim. Right?
Okay.
That's a part of what you're doing. Does that make sense?
It does. I also feel like I should be linking it to my, I guess my birth. I have like a double 26-8. So that's also like the birth. My birth day is 26, and then my life purpose number is 26-8. So I don't know if I should be looking at, like, how 4 goes into 12, or am I looking at things wrong way? Or
no, it's just that 26-8 is another very powerful, obviously. It's a magnified number for you, so it will color everything you do, even more than the 12 will. 26
okay.
is very, very powerful. And with that number, just so you know, there is a tendency to trust the wrong people. So you just be very, very careful. You may listen to other people's advice instead of listen to your own intuitive hits. And and that means they may take advantage of you, and you need to work for yourself only
right.
because of that.
Yeah.
So just keep that in mind.
That makes a lot of sense, actually.
Pardon me?
That makes a lot of sense, because that's a lot of, you know, a lot of what I have experienced, especially in career. So it does make sense.
Yeah, and 26-8 is very much about power. You know, it's an 8. It's like you want to lead. You're born to lead. So,
yeah.
And you have a great power based on compassion for others. It's a very, very powerful number. So to have it magnified in this way gives you a lot of wonderful abilities as a leader, somebody who inspires others. You just, you know, again, the shadow side is what I said it was, so you just have to keep that in mind and only listen to advice from others that is well-intentioned. And even then, you have to always go back to your intuition. That's really the key message of the number 26. You know, yeah. So, does that make sense?
Yes. Can I ask you quickly, if I just focus on my natal chart, like understanding it more, will I be prepared enough for the forecast class?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the forecast will take you from the beginning of where you just have a natal chart in front of you, and that's it. And it'll take you step by step how you look at current transits and progressions and other things as well. And it does it for the numerology as well as the astrology. So, yeah, I'm starting from the beginning, which is your natal chart and your numerology birth code. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's designed to refresh you, your memory, but also for you to have a full course that goes from beginning to end. It doesn't just start in the middle somewhere, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Oh,
that
you're
puts
welcome.
My mind at ease. That 12 has been haunting me now for a week.
Yeah, see, that's the one thing is don't get caught up in the shadow side of the definition. I know
yeah.
I mention these numbers a lot in my newsletters, but it's important to remember when I write in my newsletters, I'm writing about current names and current dates. I'm not writing about birth numbers that are 12 and 16 and 26, right? So don't confuse that with, oh, my God, my whole life is now a victim. That's not at all the case. It's only the case when we're interpreting current events, and that's what I'm teaching in Future Forecast Formula. I'm really going to look at, well, how would you interpret this number if it shows up, you know, in a person's life in this way right now, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. All right, sounds good. I'm really looking forward to it. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Well, good. Well, that brings us to the end of this month's call. Another great call. I really appreciate all your questions. And just remember, these calls are driven by your questions. And, you know, as the months and years progress, there's going to be more and more for us to discover together. There's really a lot lining up in the astronumerology. And we have 3 more months, or should I say 2.5, really, 2.5 more months of 2013. So keep that number 13 in mind. It is the divine feminine number, and we are all changing. We are all going through a big transformation this year. So we want to keep that energy aligned with our divine feminine and all that that entails, you know, meaning not being afraid to step out as the healers we are, and owning that, and being there in the beautiful light that we bring. We are rebalancing now. The male and female energies, the feminine and masculine on this planet, are being rebalanced, which is why we have a lot of interesting events going on. You know, there's confusion. There's the whole government stoppage right now. You know, there's just a lot of things being recalibrated and people relooking and reinvestigating. It's because we're balancing those male and female energies, relooking at things, getting a completely new perspective that is much more balanced. So just keep all of that in mind as you, and as we all enter the next few weeks of this powerful, powerful eclipse and Pluto-Uranus square that's happening in a few weeks. And enjoy that. I wish all of you a wonderful experience. Enjoy like taking a little time out during Mercury retrograde. You know, that is a time to lay down low. We got the holidays coming up soon, so it's a nice time if you want to take a little rest to do that. And I will see many of you in Future Forecast Formula. We'll have our monthly calls for that as well. That begins next week. So meanwhile, enjoy October, and we'll speak on November 11th, 11/11. Thank you so much, all of you. Bye-bye.